day as printed in your bulletin. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is recorded in Acts 9, verses 1 through 20. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and he asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision. A man named Ananias coming in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and the kings, and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of Man." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And let's read Psalm 30, verses 1 through 12. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me.
O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored to me to life from among those gone down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed.
To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication.
What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
So that my soul may praise you
I will give thanks to you forever.
The second reading is from Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in the heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Invite the congregation to stand for the singing of the Alleluia verse, which is on page 151 in the front half of your hymnal.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The gospel for the third Sunday of Easter is taken from John chapter 21. It's a long reading, so I invite you to be seated. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood at the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they weren't able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards away. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. Though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite any children or youth to come forward for a children's message at this time.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for coming up. When you get dressed up for Halloween, what do you look like? Scary? Any particular characters you've been? Remember any of those you've dressed up as for Halloween? Do you talk the same way when you dress up for Halloween? Sometimes take on the character of the person you're dressed up as? You look a little bit different? Would your neighbors recognize you? No, it's kind of the goal not to be recognized, maybe? Yeah. Okay. Well, today there's a story in the first lesson about a guy named Saul, and the people didn't recognize him. He had changed. It starts off, the story, with Saul being a person who persecuted the Christians. Persecuting meaning he put people down, he hurt them, he threw them in prison. Sometimes people got stoned, people threw rocks at him, did bad things to him. And so people were kind of scared of this guy named Saul because he had done these bad things to the Christians who were following Jesus. And Jesus had an encounter with Saul, and when they were on the road, he became blind so that he couldn't see. And Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting the people that are following me?" And Saul didn't know what to say, didn't respond, and got sent to a road to a place called Damascus. When they got to Damascus, another guy showed up called Ananias, and God told him to go to that guy named Saul, put his hands on his eyes, and heal his eyes. What do you think Ananias thought about that? Would you go to somebody who would kind of hurt your friends? Probably not. He was a little scared. Wasn't too wild about this idea of going to Saul. But he did, and he came and he put his eyes on him, told him that God had sent him to him to heal his sight. And Saul's sight was restored. He could see again. It says something like scales, like fish scales, fell from his eyes. Kind of hard to imagine that. But he was able to see again. God changed him, and he was a different person, completely different than who he was before. Have you ever surprised your folks by doing something the first time they asked? A few times, maybe. Okay, we won't take a vote on that one. Sometimes we do things the first time we're asked. Sometimes maybe it takes a second or third or fourth or perhaps even longer. If you were to jump up and do it before they even asked, what do you think would happen? That's what my folks would have done. I had three older brothers. I know what that was like. Sometimes when we make those reversals, those changes in our lives, that we're not recognizable. But God is that one who can always change us into the people that he wants us to become, people that love him and love one another. Will you join me in prayer? Dear God, thank you for changing Saul into a believer. Change us into the people you want us to be. Amen. So I've got a shape for a cookie this morning, but I've got another part to that shape. But any guesses on what a shape of a cookie might be? A cross? No, it would work, but it wasn't. Have you ever... Okay. A dove? Nope, not a dove today either. Ever heard of the phrase, a change of heart? Kind of change the way you're thinking and acting? Well, that's the shape, but there's more to the shape than that. On one side, it looks totally different than on the other side, because Jesus is that person that is our Savior who can change us into the one who God wants us to be. So thanks for coming up this morning. I invite the congregation to join in singing hymn number 733.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest all thy compassions, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be.
may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I heard the story from a friend. Joni, it's time to wake up. Joni, it's still time to get up. Her daughter didn't like to get up in the morning, and it would take several yells up the stairs to get her daughter out of bed and down to breakfast. Joni hated soggy cereal, so Mom's last announcement was, "I'm pouring on the milk." In Jesus' third appearance this morning following his resurrection, Jesus invites his disciples to come and have breakfast. Today's gospel has some Petersburg connections, sort of, or at least fishing. But before Jesus can invite them to breakfast, he has to do a little guiding. The disciples, it seems, never seem to manage to catch fish without Jesus' help. But why are the disciples out fishing anyway? This week's gospel follows last week's lesson, where Jesus, after the resurrection, appeared to the disciples. Thomas was absent that day. Jesus appears to the disciples again, this time when Thomas is present. Thomas then makes the confession of faith from our gospel last Sunday, "My Lord and my God." What will the disciples do now that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that death has been defeated? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Everything has changed. But Jesus, even the dead, don't stay dead. Life has conquered death. How will this life-changing event change the people? Simon Peter's response is not what one might expect. Today we get one of the first liturgical responses of the Christian movement. Peter tells the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." The disciples respond, "We'll go with you." The disciples have gone back to their old lives, and they find out it isn't working so well. They're fishing without success. Something is missing. We don't know why Peter and the other disciples decided to go fishing. It reminds us of when Jesus first found them. Many of the disciples were fishermen by trade. Perhaps it makes sense that Jesus would encounter them near their boats and their nets again. Perhaps in their grief, they've turned back to the familiar life of fishing. Perhaps they're giving up on the movement that Jesus had invited them to join, to be fishers of people. Perhaps they're overwhelmed and exhausted, and a night on the water seemed like a good way to unwind. Perhaps they just couldn't think of anything else to do. We don't know why they went fishing, but we do know what happened. These hard-working fishermen spend the entire night throwing their nets, hauling them back in, and catch nothing. It is then that a stranger, the guide, if you will, standing on the shore, suggests that they throw their nets to the right side of the boat. They do, and the catch is so great that they can't haul it in. Peter then recognizes that the person was Jesus, and is so glad to see him that he grabs his clothes and swims 100 yards to shore. I wonder if Peter has thought this through, though. What did he think was going to happen? Not long ago, he had denied Jesus 3 times on Good Friday. Did he wonder if Jesus would embrace him in love and forgive him? Will Jesus show him some tough love and ask him why he didn't stand up for him on Good Friday? First, they have some breakfast. Then I'm guessing Peter is amazed at what Jesus does. He doesn't give him a hard time. Instead, 3 times Jesus asked Peter a question. "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Feed my lambs." "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Tend my sheep." "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." "Feed my sheep." You probably heard the Ole and Lena joke. Out of the blue, Lena asks Ole, "Do you love me?" Ole responds, "Now, Lena, you know that I love you." "But you never tell me that anymore." "Well, I told you that I loved you 30 years ago, and if that ever changes, I'll let you know." Jesus wouldn't be content with Ole's answer. Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him. Each time Peter responds with that phrase, "You know that I love you." And Jesus tells him to feed my sheep. The sheep only go to Jesus to Peter for care. The sheep still belong to Jesus. Peter's ministry and ours is best described by verbs. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. When you love Jesus, it involves action. It involves meeting the physical and spiritual needs of those in our midst and those outside of our midst. Jesus called Peter to become the shepherd of his sheep by feeding and caring for them. Jesus didn't put Peter down for denying him. Jesus does the surprising thing and chooses to deal with Peter out of love and forgiveness. In Peter, the Christian movement receives its first leader, one who has failed Jesus terribly, one who is loved by Jesus profoundly, one who's forgiven by Jesus graciously, one who will lead the church in making sure that forgiveness is at the heart of everything the church does. In our lesson from Acts, Jesus did another surprising thing. This time it happened to Saul, when Jesus encounters him on the road to Damascus. Saul, also known as Paul, is a devout and zealous Jew who persecuted the followers of Jesus in the early church, even condoning the stoning of the Christians. He chose to use his Hebrew name, Saul, until sometime after he began to believe in Jesus. After that time, he used his Roman name, Paul, as he reached out to the Gentiles with the good news of Jesus. Most of the letters in the New Testament are recognized as having been authored by the Apostle Paul. In this surprising encounter told in Acts, Jesus confronts Saul, asks him why he's persecuting his followers. Saul ends up losing his sight and is directed to go to Damascus. Once there, God directs him to a person called Ananias to go and tells Ananias to go and find Saul, lay his hands on him to restore his sight. Ananias, a follower of Jesus, didn't think that was such a good idea. He's scared to go and meet Saul. After all, Saul has had the followers of Jesus arrested and persecuted. Yet Ananias goes, lays his hands on him, and his sight is restored. Saul's reaction to this amazing experience is to go to the synagogues and do an about-face. Now, instead of persecuting Christians, he proclaims that Jesus is the Son of God. I wonder if Saul could go from persecuting the Christians to proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. What yet may we become? Even a man like Saul is changed and becomes an instrument that the risen Lord uses and chooses to bring his name before Gentiles and Jews. Jesus does a surprising thing to Saul in his conversion experience. Jesus does a surprising thing to Ananias as well. Ananias thought he knew who Jesus should use to build a faithful following, and it didn't include this guy named Saul. I'm reminded of God's words to the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." In the end, we are not the ones who decide who is worthy to follow Jesus or who is good enough to tell others about Jesus. That is Jesus' call. That gives us reason to believe that God can use you and I as well. Included in that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us is Peter, who three times denied Jesus on Good Friday. Then he's given three opportunities to proclaim his love for Jesus. Three times Jesus calls Peter to become the shepherd of his sheep by feeding and caring for them. First, Jesus surprises the women at the empty tomb by not being there. Then the resurrected Jesus surprises the disciples as they meet behind closed doors. Then Jesus surprises the disciples while they're fishing. Then Jesus surprises Ananias by Saul's conversion from being a persecutor of Christians to believing in Jesus. If God can do all that, what surprises may God yet have in store for us? During those times when we decide to go fishing, to return to what is familiar and safe, Jesus appears on the beach, telling us where to cast the net. inviting us to breakfast, inviting us to a table of bread and wine, offering us the forgiveness of our sins, new beginnings. After all, we are Easter people. Jesus has risen, and now everything has changed. Today, we're invited to help and do the work. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep, Jesus says. Haul the fish into the boat. Become fishermen listening to the needs of those around us. A fisherman who seeks those out who need to hear of a loving Savior. Thanks be to God that we're called to join Peter, Saul, and Ananias, in spite of the things we've done or not done, in spite of our questions and doubts, we're still invited to breakfast, to the baptismal font, to the table, to follow Jesus for the sake of the world that God so deeply loves. Because we too have been called and equipped by God. May God bless us in our serving. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing our sermon hymn number 798.
The call your